Hello again. Welcome to this program called Transforming Grace. It's being brought to you by the Institute for Biblical Preaching from Canada. My name is Roger Pascoe, and I'm delighted to be with you today. And we're trusting God that His grace will meet your needs today through this program as we continue our study in John's Gospel. We reached last time John's Gospel chapter 4 and verse 11. We're studying the significant dialogues or discussions that Jesus had with people as John recorded them in his gospel. We have finished looking at the discussion that he had with Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and we're working our way now through the conversation that he had with the woman, the Samaritan woman, at the well in John chapter 4. Now, before we begin, let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for this day. We thank you for this broadcast and for your word that we can open and read and study together. Help us today to look into it with open hearts and minds as you teach us by your Holy Spirit. And I pray that our lives will be changed to live to please and honor you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, just picking up from where we were last time, you'll remember that the scene here is the well in Samaria, Jacob's well. It was more than 100 feet deep. Its water was very refreshing, like that of the springs that surrounded that area. And as I mentioned before, there are two terms that are used in this account for the word well. One term means a spring-fed well, where the water bubbles up from the bottom of the well, that fresh spring water at the bottom. The other word just refers to any kind of well, whether spring-fed or not. And the woman in this chapter, the Samaritan woman, misinterprets what Jesus means by living water. She thinks he's referring to the spring water that comes up from the bottom of Jacob's well. She thinks that Jesus is saying, I will give you not the water that has been standing in the well for some time, in other words, the water that might be stale or stagnant, but I will give you the spring water at the bottom of the well, that nice, fresh, cold, refreshing water from the bottom of the well. And so that explains her reply to Jesus in the 11th verse when she says, you have nothing to draw with and the well is deep. Where then do you get that living water? She respects him. That's evident from the fact that she calls him sir. But she sees two great obstacles. Firstly, Jesus has nothing to draw with, no rope, no bucket. How on earth does he think he's going to get this fresh spring water from the bottom of the well? And secondly, the second big obstacle is that the well is deep. How could he possibly access this spring water at the bottom? But it is now beginning to dawn on her, it seems to me, that this is no ordinary person to whom she is speaking. He, a Jew, is actually traveling through Samaria. That's not ordinary, that's for sure. And he is sitting at this well talking to her, an immoral Samaritan woman. That's certainly not ordinary. And now he is telling her about living water that he would give her if she asked for it. And that's definitely not ordinary. How he would draw water from the bottom of the well is not so important now. What is more important is, who is this stranger? And so the dialogue, the conversation turns from the supply of water to the supplier of water. Now her heart is beginning to open. There is amazement, there's wonder, and there's curiosity. She is beginning to ponder the greatness of this stranger, and her curiosity about his greatness is preparing her to receive him. Her confusion about how he could give her living water and how he could get the water out of the well now turns to curiosity. And she asks in verse 12, surely you aren't greater than our father Jacob, are you? the one who gave us this well, and who himself drank from it, and his sons, and his flocks? Well, this brings us then to the beginning of today's study. Having dealt with her racial prejudice, as we studied before, which he has obviously overcome, or at least substantially overcome in her mind, now the discussion turns from matters of thirst, in other words, what this water is all about, and his request that she give him a drink to quench his thirst. It turns from matters of thirst to matters of theology, as Jesus deals with religious prejudice. As we have already seen in our studies in this chapter, Jesus has dealt with, or at least indicated his disdain for religious pride, and he has dealt with racial prejudice in verses 7 through 11, and where we're picking up today, he deals with religious prejudice. Now, just to make sure that you understand what we mean by the term prejudice, the word simply means a preconceived negative judgment on someone else. That's a prejudice, whether it happens to be because of the color of their skin, or because of their religion, or some other aspect of someone else that you look down on, that you judge them for, and you display your negative judgment upon them in various ways. It might be in words that criticize them. It may be in your actions that you have nothing to do with them. Some sort of prejudgment without due consideration for who that person really is, and without giving them the benefit of grace and tolerance and compassion. In other words, prejudice is a prejudgment that is not based on solid facts. It is based upon your feelings and your antagonism to someone or to something. So Jesus now is going to deal with religious prejudice, and we're going to read verses 13 through 15 as we pick up this conversation in John's Gospel chapter 4. Verse 13 says, Jesus answered and said to her, "Whoever drinks of this water will thirst again, but whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst, but the water that I shall give him will become in him a fountain of water springing up into everlasting life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water, that I may not thirst, nor come here to draw." Well, what we see in these verses is that firstly, Jesus deals with religious prejudice by meeting the heart's desire, Just as Jesus appealed to her sympathy, to her favor, to overcome her racial prejudice when he asked her for a drink, so now he responds to her deepest desires to overcome her religious prejudice, the desire for rest from her sinful ways, and the desire for satisfaction of soul. And in meeting this deep desire, he indicates that he is indeed greater than Jacob, as she had asked in verse 12. Not only can he give the water without a bucket, but his water satisfies forever. And Jesus knew that the deepest longing of this woman's heart was to find peace and satisfaction of soul, something that could answer the questions of her life and deal with all of the sin and turmoil that had occurred in her life through all of her various relationships with other men and all of the other things that had happened in her life. Jesus knows that that lies at the root of what she really wants. So in the first place, Jesus' solution to the heart's desire is free. There's no cost. Jesus is offering a free gift that is not physical water, but spiritual. He explains that he's not talking about the water in the well, because anyone who drinks of that water, he says, would thirst again. But whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. So he is beginning to explain to her that he's not speaking about physical water, but about spiritual. And this starts to open up her understanding as to what he has been trying to say to her in the previous verses. And so this contrast between the two waters now comes out in verses 13 and 14. On the one hand, what she was thinking of was the physical water from Jacob's well. On the other hand, what Jesus is speaking about is the living water that only he can give. So the physical water from the well, the water that she had come there to get for her own needs, perhaps, or for her own flocks, that physical water only temporarily quenches our physical thirst. Whoever drinks of it, Jesus said, will thirst again. But the living water that he has come to give her permanently quenches spiritual thirst. She will never thirst again if she drinks of that water. Notice the second contrast. Not only the contrast between the physical water that temporarily quenches thirst and the living water that permanently quenches thirst, but notice that the physical water from Jacob's well cannot fill the needs of the soul, only the needs of the body. Whereas the living water from Jesus meets the needs of the soul. It is the source of spiritual refreshment rather than physical. And then the third contrast is that the physical water from Jacob's well is finite in nature. In other words, it's limited in its quantity. It decreases as it's used and it disappears when we drink it. But the living water from Jesus is infinite. It is a self-generating spring, if you will, that is good for time and for eternity. It never runs out. Jesus' gift is the gift of eternal life. That's what he's speaking about when he's speaking about living water. It is the gift of eternal life. And Romans 6, verse 23 tells us that the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. This gift of eternal life, this living water, is not something we have to search for, but it is freely offered to us. We don't need a rope or a bucket in order to hold and transport this water. It cannot be worked for. It cannot be bought with money. There is no measure of fitness for this water. In other words, we cannot earn it by our own merits. It's not as though some people are fit to drink this water and others are not. There is no measure of fitness or worthiness for this water. It is purely a gift to be received. And sinner that she was, she had only to ask and to have. Jesus would freely give it to her if she asks him for it. And that's why he said right at the beginning, in verse 10, if you knew the gift of God and who it is who says to you, give me a drink, you would have asked him and he would have given you living water. We don't have divine life by nature. We cannot earn divine life. We don't have it because of the culture or the society in which we live or into which we are born. We cannot earn divine life by any religious ceremonies or rites. We don't have it because of the family that we're born into. It comes only as a gift of God's grace. It isn't purchased and it isn't deserved. We cannot find it by wisdom, by power, with money, or by our own merit. It is by grace alone. We cannot earn it, because the wages of sin, the Bible says, is death. Whoever is saved can only be saved by the matchless grace of God. This gift is the free gift of God through Jesus Christ. It is a gift that Jesus offers to anyone who drinks in his word and receives his spirit. In other words, to anyone who receives him. So this is what Jesus is speaking about in drinking of this living water. It is to drink in himself, to drink in his word, what he tells us, to drink in this gift that he is offering of eternal life. You see, when you drink something, it becomes part of you. It goes into your inner self, to the very center of your being, and it becomes part of who you are. It sustains and nourishes you. And this is what Jesus is offering us, is this gift of eternal life. Eternal life that is generated in us by his Holy Spirit to those who receive him. Jesus' gift is a gift which must be received. Whoever drinks, he says in verse 14, of the water. It must be received into the inner part of our being. Just like we drink water from a cup, so we must drink in this gift of God and take it in and allow it to become part of who we are and to form our inner person. When we drink water, it enters our inward parts and becomes part of us. And just so when we receive Jesus, it is a complete receiving of an identification with him. It is a yielding to him. It is a living in him. We follow him. We become one with him. And he becomes the fountain of life in our inner being. Christianity is not just an outward label, but it is an inner transformation. It is not just Christ on our lips, nor words about him in a book, but it is the Lord himself living within us. When we receive him, we receive new life in Jesus Christ. And that is what he's speaking about in this living water, the new life that we can receive from him when we drink him in, when we take him and make him a part of our life. Well, not only is Jesus' solution to the heart's desire free, but Jesus' solution to the heart's desire is satisfying. Whoever drinks shall never thirst, verse 14 says. Whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. Grace relieves our soul thirst when we receive it. Thirst is the metaphor that Jesus is using here, or the picture that he is using, for the longing of the soul, for the craving that we have within us for truth, for peace, for forgiveness, for mercy, for love and grace. It's this insatiable sense of need, that aching that you have within you, that void which neither gold nor silver can satisfy. The living water, however, satisfies the longing soul. He satisfies the longing soul and fills the hungry soul with goodness, Psalm 107 verse 9 tells us. There is reconciliation with God. A new desire enters into our soul. We have a new outlook on life. We get peace and satisfaction and security for the future. When we seek after God, the peace of God floods the heart and the mind. And when we receive Christ, we derive this new life from him, the thirst of our soul is satisfied, and you will never thirst again. Isn't that a wonderful truth? To know that all of the longings of your life, all of the searching that you've done for peace and happiness and security, can be satisfied in Jesus Christ, and you will never thirst again. Have you experienced that? Have you received him? Have you drunk at the well of living water? Or are you still trying to find peace and happiness with the physical water of life? And by that we mean not water that you drink from a cup, but what it stands for, the water of the world that tries to satisfy the thirst of your soul, but never can. You continually get thirsty again. You look for pleasure. You look for happiness. You look for lasting relationships. You search for something that can give you peace of mind and peace of soul. You search out for other people's advice as to what it is can satisfy the inner longing of your heart, but you never find it. You may find it momentarily. You might find it for a short period of time. Somebody may be able to tell you something that for a short period of time makes you happy, but you find that the time comes along again when you are thirsty in your soul again. You realize that what you had been pursuing does not give you lasting peace, lasting happiness, that there is still a longing for mercy, for forgiveness, for the cleansing of your sins. Well, Jesus says, whoever drinks of the water that I shall give him will never thirst. In other words, when you come to me, when you ask me for a drink of spiritual water, I will pour my life into you. I will pour my word, my revealed truth of God into your life so that you know the cleansing of sin and you will never thirst again. And I'm sure today that of all of the people that are listening to this program, this broadcast, there are many of you who have that deep longing in your soul, the longing to have peace with God. And that peace with God only comes through our Lord Jesus Christ. And even those of you who are listening to this broadcast who are Christians, you know that you're saved, you know that your sins have been washed away. I'm sure that from time to time you have difficulties, you have trials, you face obstacles, and you wonder about your security in the Lord Jesus. Well, Jesus here is saying, if you will just continue to drink from my well, you will never thirst again. You will have a continuing peace, a continuing security in me. Because this water of His Word, His truth, His forgiveness, His mercy, is a permanent gift that He gives you and that you can never lose. Oh, you may wonder from time to time. You may have doubts because Satan wants you to doubt. He wants you to lose your joy in the Lord Jesus Christ. He wants you to question whether, in fact, that salvation that you received is real. But the truth that Jesus is teaching here is when you turn to Him in saving faith, when you bow the knee before Him and confess your sins in true repentance before God, and you turn to Him for salvation, He cleanses your sins and they are gone. As far as the east is from the west, so far are your sins removed from you, the Bible says. They are blotted out, the Bible says, like a thick cloud. They can never be recovered. They can never be brought back. You are permanently, you are eternally secure in Him. That is the most precious truth that anyone could ever hear or ever know. And I'm trusting that all of those of you who are listening to this program today will know that truth in reality. And you've made it your own. You've turned to Christ. You know that your sins are forgiven and that you have drunk of this living water and you will never thirst again. You'll never need any other solution to life. You'll never need to turn to anyone else to try to find any other means of satisfaction, for this is the only source that you need, and it is in the person of Jesus Christ. Have you done that? Is that a peace and security and happiness and joy that you know that you have because you have Him living within you by His Holy Spirit? You have received Him by drinking of this living spiritual water. And when you did that, you will never thirst again. Well, we're going to pick this up again next time and continue with this wonderful discussion with this woman at the well in Samaria. In the meantime, I trust that this message has been a blessing to you, and may God bless you till we're together again the next time.